The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. Hospitals made hundreds of millions for the death of COVID patients. That's right, the government paid them. I know some of you have known this, but it's really amazing when we can look back at the numbers now. And apparently, over 1.1 million people died of COVID at hospitals. Interestingly enough, COVID is not a deadly disease. That's a fact. I mean, I know if you watch CNN and when they were scaremongering everyone, you would believe that it is some sort of deadly disease, but it never has. And you really needed a pre-existing condition. But here's the worst part. Even if you had a pre-existing condition and were dying of something else, COVID didn't have to kill you. But the protocols that were followed by the hospitals actually made it so that these patients would die. We know this by when they followed remdesivir. We know remdesivir is extremely harmful. We know people died because of remdesivir and were labeled as COVID deaths when it really wasn't. And we know the hospitals were incentivized by the government for COVID patients. They were getting money just to label you as a COVID patient. And then they were getting money even when they died, especially to incentivize people would die with COVID, not of COVID. You remember all that controversy. But now we have some numbers about just how much money actually may have been made by some hospitals. And again, how many people have actually died of a virus that technically was not a deadly virus. So you have to factor that in. Here's what you can conclude. Depopulation doesn't just enrich the vaccine makers. Depopulation also enriches hospitals. It is horrible that we have to say that the most dangerous place you can go to get treated for COVID-19 was and still is a hospital. They're the ones that still force you to wear masks, by the way. Still. That's the place that won't let it go. The thing that has been proven to be a scientific lie, and yet hospitals will never let it go. I didn't look into this. There has to be a financial thing going on there too. There has to be. It doesn't make any sense. These people aren't morons that work at hospitals. They're not idiots. They're not fools. They know why surgeons wear masks is so that they don't put bacteria into their patient when they're doing open heart surgery. It isn't because the surgeon might come in with a cold. It has nothing to do with that. Surgical masks are to protect the patient from bacteria. And those masks can block bacteria, but they cannot block viruses. I've given this example before. Hospitals know that if a doctor has a cold and wears a surgical mask and performs a surgery on you, he's going to wear that mask to protect you from the bacteria, but you might wake up with a cold a couple days later from that doctor who was wearing that mask because it isn't going to stop the cold from getting through the mask. That won't happen. But what will happen is it will stop the bacteria from his spittle from getting into your open wounds. That's the whole purpose of a surgical mask. Hospitals know this. They've known it from the beginning. So when people recommended surgical masks and everyone wearing masks to stop a virus, hospitals were the first place to know that's a bunch of crap. They're the first place to know it, and yet they're the last to let it go. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you corruption for sure. That for sure, it tells you corruption is going on, but it also tells you money has to have been made. That's the only reason why people would act like morons who are not morons. And hospital administrators aren't a bunch of idiots. But they look like a bunch of idiots, but they're looking at someone like me and saying, I'm not an idiot. I just rolled in hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes, you're not an idiot. You're very smart, but you have no morals because you have allowed people to die at your hospital that didn't have to die for money. That's what you did. Congratulations. When you stand before God, explain it to him. Don't explain it to me, you hospital administrators. You go explain this to God. You go do that. You explain it tonight on your knees. I hope you do, because I hope you're repenting, and then you change and take a stand against all of this, and you give back the blood money that you have made. That's what I hope. But will you give back that blood money? Will you care enough to do so? I don't know. Maybe one of you. Maybe. All right. So on the SGT report, Sean does a great job on SGT report, and I was a guest on his show not too long ago, so it was, he always does a great show. He had Dr. Lee Vallette, and she was talking about the death protocols at hospitals and the money behind it. You really got to hear this. Take a listen.
It's appalling. And then we have the doctors and nurses in the hospitals participating in the death protocols. They know these doses are wrong. They know it's wrong to withhold fluid and nutrition. They know it's wrong to fail to treat diabetes and bacterial pneumonia and give adequate anticoagulation. They know that. It's a violation of everything we've ever done in the ICU patients, and they know it, and they're doing it anyway. So your listeners, Sean, need to understand hospitals are no longer our friends. They are no longer our places of healing and recovery. They have become medical prisons and the rapid road to death and failure to treat.
Yeah, they're scary places. Yeah, they're so scary now. And it's the one place where they still enforce the put a mask on when you walk in. You want to visit a patient? Here's a mask, put it on, which makes no scientific sense whatsoever. So, of course, that is one protocol still being mandated by hospitals when you go to visit somebody. It's absolute insanity. That's why this Truth for Health Foundation press conference on Tuesday, November 1st is so important. It's called Stop White Coat Killers. Stop White Coat Killers. I mean, how did we get to this point in Western civilization where white coats, people who have sworn their lives to help people stay healthy, to never do harm, they're suddenly in the business of killing people? It's just madness, Doc.
Well, look at my caduceus on my lapel. Do you know why I have the black ribbon behind it? Because I am mourning the death of the oath of Hippocrates and the oath to the patient that my profession has always honored. Too many white coat professionals today in our hospitals and in our outpatient practices are totally denying their oath to the patient. They are robots and technicians to the insurance companies and the government bureaucrats, and they're being incentivized with government bounties on the lives of patients.
Okay, she's going to get into the government bounties. I'm going to pick it up where I left off, because she's about to say, do you know? And I think she's going to go into the financial profiteering that these hospitals have done. It's important for people to know that if they had a relative that went to a hospital and got treated at a hospital, you got to know, right now, hospitals really are functioning, especially for older people, as a way to just kill people off. Even without COVID, this has been a problem. There have been investigative reports, even by the New American and so many other places, about family members now, ever since really the COVID-19, like the hospitals have changed to where they think you're a prisoner to them. They're not there to serve you. You're there to give them money and obey. And it used to be they obey what you say as the patient. Now they don't obey what the families say. Take COVID-19 out of it. They think you're old and a drain to society. They put you on the path of killing you at many hospitals, not every hospital, but many hospitals. And how they do it now, different than COVID, different than what we're dealing with, but I got to throw this out there because I know it's happening. I've had family members that have had this happen to them, sadly. But what they'll do is they'll sedate you, and then they'll say the person's not eating. They're in there, and especially if they're way older. And then the family members will be like, no, I'm trying to feed them. And when I'm there, it seems like they're willing to take food. Oh, no, they're not eating. We need to put feeding tube in. But really, when they're putting the feeding tube in, they're not feeding them. And a lot of times they'll say, well, no, we brought in a tray, but the person is sedated in the aspect. They keep getting drugs to where they're just like in and out and out of it. And so they put the food tray super far away from them and say, oh, we brought them food. But they set it purposefully to where the patient can't get it. And if there's no one there to feed them, then they'll say, oh, no, they're not eating. But they also know that they're giving them drugs so that they'll never be capable of eating because they're constantly being put into a state where they can't stay awake to eat. If they weren't being drugged, they'd sit up, be fine, and eat. That's what I'm saying to you. And they're putting it there. And then they just lead them down this road of a path to death. This is really happening in just in random, like people going to the hospital and they're just older and the hospital is just deciding time for this person to go is basically what's happening. It's ridiculous. But in the case of COVID, they were incentivized to put them on remdesivir and follow these protocols that put you on the path to dying. And that's what the doctor's talking about. And they made a ton of money. Why would hospitals do this? Money. That's why. Take a listen. I'll pick up where we left off.
No, attorney Dan Watkins, who's filed the 3 lawsuits against hospitals in Fresno, California, and leading other remdesivir suits in Arizona, Nevada, Texas, Florida, Maryland, and Kentucky. They have found that in California, hospitals are paid over $500,000 per COVID patient to follow the COVID death protocol. This is unconscionable. And hospitals and hospital CEOs' bonuses have been in the millions of dollars during the last 3 years under the COVID CARES Act and PREP Act immunity. Warner Mendenhall reported not long ago that the Cleveland Clinic average net revenues prior to the COVID pandemic were running $300 to $400 million a year. In the last year, the net revenues were $1.2 billion, wow, more than 3 times what they had been net revenues prior to all these COVID incentive payments. America needs to wake up and realize what the government is doing on these death protocols and the medical prisons.
Folks, that's just one hospital making over $1 billion, but that's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars made. They are rolling in the dough. And many of them who are running these hospitals clearly have no moral or ethical standards whatsoever. And they think that they're doing society a favor by getting rid of, at first it starts with elderly people, but eventually it just goes to anyone. Because it's really a depopulation agenda, whether the hospitals are in on it or not. This is what the globalists have always learned. You don't necessarily have to have people who are wanting to depopulate the earth. You don't necessarily have to have that. You just have to have people who worship at the altar of money, and then they will do your bidding for you for money. So a hospital administrator doesn't have to wake up thinking, I want to depopulate the earth. The hospital administrator wakes up and says, they're going to pay me $500,000 to put this COVID patient on this protocol. Hey, it's in God's hands whether that person lives or dies. I'm making $500,000. For that one patient to die, basically. That's the motive. That's all they need. It's just like, you don't have to have the motive to kill babies to be a baby killer. You can kill a baby through abortion without the motive of wanting to actually kill babies, but you've been tricked into thinking, well, you're 16, and if you have this baby, your life is over. You will never earn money for the rest of your life. And if you want money and to go to college and finish and have a paycheck, you can't have this child. If you kill the child, you'll be rich and super happy and have this great life with this super big house. And that's basically what they try to guarantee you, because they're saying, oh, you'll get to go to college and your life will be so much better off. But if you keep the baby, You will be poor and desolate, and you will never mount to anything in life. That's what they put in front of like 16-year-olds. It's all a bunch of crap and a lie. The 16-year-old could have the baby, become a YouTube internet sensation just playing video games for all we know, and make millions of dollars doing that and have their child. Who's to say what that person's going to do? How dare they tell those 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds? It doesn't really matter. I'm just using a 16-year-old as an example because they really like to jump on them and tell them you'll be nothing if you have a child. And if you kill your child, you're going to make tons of money. Now, these people aren't trying to depopulate the earth or even thinking I'm a baby killer, but they're doing the bidding. And why money? Because society has told them, and they bought the lie, if someone is a teenager and they get pregnant, they will never be able to make it in America. Now, this has never been true. Every single teenage mom that I know of has made it just fine that have kept their child, and many of them are extremely rich. But they were told that cannot happen, and if you kill your child, then you will be rewarded financially later in life. And how many people have actually aborted their child and have lived poor the rest of their life? Many have. It has nothing to do with whether you keep your child or not. It's enraging. All right. I went off on something that's different than what we were dealing with, but let me hit this. They talk about over 1.1 million people have died in our hospitals. At least that's what I think John Hopkins is proclaiming. Well, take a listen.
Now, most of those, in my medical opinion, are related to the COVID death protocols. COVID is not a lethal illness if you treat early and aggressively, even in people with older age and comorbidities. I had older people, I had diabetics, I had people with obesity, diabetes, and asthma and other medical comorbidities that treated rapidly and aggressively with combination therapy. They stayed out of the hospital. They didn't die. They recovered fully. So that's possible. It's been possible from the beginning. And that's 1.1 million. A lot of that, many of those are false positive diagnoses of COVID that were actually taken down the road to death on the very protocols I'm talking about. If you restrict fluids, if you restrict nutrition, and you sedate people with midazolam, fentanyl, morphine, and other sedatives, and you withhold treatment for bacterial pneumonia, you withhold treatment for diabetes, you withhold treatment for blood clots, then it's pretty sure that they're going to die. Whether they have COVID or not, if you withhold all of that, you can take a relatively healthy person. In fact, we just had a family contact us this week for a 30-year-old, their son, who went into the hospital for something else, had a positive PCR, probably false positive, treated as a COVID patient, and died. Young man, healthy, in his 30s. And what's even more upsetting and actually alarming, the family was told, oh, he has two dislocated shoulders. How in the world do you have a patient, a healthy young man in the hospital, get two dislocated shoulders? What in the world were they doing to him that they dislocated both of his shoulders?
Yeah. Use of force. Use of force.
Exactly
right.
Exactly.
People fighting for their life. It's like those little kids.
Exactly right.
It breaks my heart when you see the videos of these little kids in the doctor's office coming at them with a needle. Mom's holding that kid down, and you know damn well what's in those shots. Those little kids know, and they're screaming for their lives.
Yeah, it's horrible what's going on in America. It is. How about this? Dr. Lee Vallette talks about, this is really interesting. They talked about the shots in this. There'll be a link so you can see. There's so much stuff I'm not even covering in this interview from the SGT report that you'll want to see the whole interview. But they talk about the vaccines and stuff. And she's talking about the micro blood clotting rising in people 1 year after the vax. I've been wondering how long you've been vaccinated. are people recovering. This is not good news. This is horrible news if you've been vaccinated.
Well, this is what the public has been up against. They've been lied to, and the damage is skyrocketing. I'm seeing patients who are a year after their last COVID shot, and their D-dimer is rising. That means that they have a risk of micro blood clots happening in their body as a ticking time bomb. They don't know it because their primary care doctors are not checking the markers. People need to go to truthforhealth.org, click on the tab treatment guides, and download our vaccine injury treatment guide. It's one of the most medically sound integrated approaches to how do you recognize the symptoms? How do you get the right blood test? How do you get the right MRIs, chest x-rays, CT scans, actually, because there are special protocols for all of that.
Yeah, and you can go and go check that out. But this is not good. The D-dimer test can detect micro blood clotting. And she's saying that she's seeing a year after that she's giving, and I guess the D-dimer test is a simple test, that it's increasing, the micro blood clotting is increasing in people that she knows have been vaccinated, and they only been vaccinated, it appears, what she didn't say one time, she said a year ago, so I'm assuming it's someone that's been vaccinated once, or at least it's been a year, maybe they're vaccinated twice, but it's been a full year, and they're seeing the micro blood clotting increasing. Folks, I don't know. It's not like I want to bring you bad news. I know the majority of people that probably watch my videos have been vaccinated. Do you think I want to tell you this? I just got to give you the truth and hope you just appreciate I tell you the truth, whether it's good or bad. I don't know for sure if that means that's going to happen to everybody, but she's seen clearly some of her, it's happened to some of her patients. We got to have more data. And more doctors come out and let us know if this is what's actually happening. And the whole bombshell of this video that I'm giving you these interviews from, I didn't even cover. I'm going to quickly give you to it because I can't confirm this. And since I can't confirm it, I don't know if this is true or not. But it was like a big bombshell, so I do want you to see it. You make up your own mind. This is not me saying that this is true or not true. I have no idea. But this is basically the whole point of the video. Take a listen.
And in hydrogel, in the last week, we've come to find the most secret and key ingredient in it is cesium-137. And I wanted to get with Dr. Vliet about it. I think she's just become aware of this. This is a radioactive material, and it's in the hydrogel that is also now being included in insulin. So they're putting it in all injectables, whether that's your tetanus shot or insulin, they are uploading into people the operating system. That's what this whole COVID thing was about. So what we've also come to find is that 5G can't work without cesium-137.
Yeah, that goes into the 5G stuff. Folks, I don't know, but I'm going to give it to you and you can check it out. I haven't gotten confirmation on everything about that. But that's part of the video, too. There'll be a link if you want to check out the whole interview. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya! Hey, guys, does it ever feel like you're not getting the full story from the media? Well, of course you're not. But does it feel like there are dark and sinister forces driving national events and global events? Oh, yeah. And you might even want to go behind the deep state. Well, that's the show we have for you, Behind the Deep State. It's hosted by Alex Newman. You really have to check it out. Great in-depth stuff about what's going on with the deep state. Go to thenewamerican.com and check out Behind the Deep State.